This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. And woo boy, are things happening right about now all over the place. Yes, of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. We have all kinds of questions out there about early voting. What if the assassin had been successful? We have good congressmen, no crappy congressmen, other guests. Megyn Kelly's an hour from now. Tons of things to talk about, but I don't have time to get into any of that right now because there are things that are, I don't know if I want to say breaking, kind of breaking, not concrete, but kind of concrete. So here it is. Let me just give it to you without leading up or taking any more time. Mark Halperin, he's a journalist, a reputable journalist. I want to say that this human being may not align with you or align with me on many things, but this isn't some hack who doesn't know. We're talking ABC News, NBC. This is a man who's done a lot and he's been around the block. And when he breaks news, he has sources. He has been quite reliable in the past. And this came down, I kid you not, 2 minutes before we came on the air. I was going somewhere totally different with this, but here it is. I'm going to read it verbatim. It's his news, not my news, but this is, well, here it is. Breaking news. Multiple sources outline the apparent state of play on Biden at this time. These are the points. The first point, plans to announce withdrawal from nomination as early as this weekend, with Sunday most likely. John Meacham is polishing up remarks. Don't worry about who that is. This is writing a speech. Biden will not resign the presidency. Biden will not endorse Harris. Open convention with Harris and about three others. Superdelegates will not be allowed to vote on the first ballot. Don't worry about that inside baseball stuff. Harris is vetting at least four possible running mates, including Andy Beshear and possibly Shapiro. Beshear is Kentucky. Shapiro is Pennsylvania. More on this fluid situation tonight. And I give you my word, I will keep you posted on that as it comes out. Now, again, I want to stress, I am not bringing you this information. This is not my breaking news. I want to give credit where credit's due. This is Mark's breaking news. That's one. Two, Mark is somebody who generally gets it right. Three, when it's multiple sources, whenever you read that, when there are multiple sources involved, just know that is a journalist
putting his stamp on it. He's practically etching it in stone. This is very likely true. And so, look, this is nothing that is that unexpected. It's something, obviously, we've talked about. You and I have talked about for the longest time. How long have I been predicting this? It's been over 2 years I've been telling you this is coming. But even now that it looks like we might be on the cusp of it, even now, it almost doesn't seem real, right? It seems surreal, probably the best way I can put it, probably a better use of English. It seems surreal. That's how it seems right now. And I have a lot of things going through my head, as I'm sure you do. I'm thrilled that dirt ball is going to leave. I am very curious where the ticket's going to end up. I'm curious, are the pool numbers going to look as good for us after this happens, assuming it does, after this happens, are the pool numbers going to look as good for us after as they do now? We just had new polls. I'm not going to go over all the pool numbers. That's so friggin' boring. But we just had new polls come out today, the first really post-assassination attempt polls, and it got worse for Biden all across the board. It's a bloodbath. But I'll just tell you this. I'm really, in some ways, I'm going to miss him.
It's all about treating people with dignity. And it's about making sure that, look, I mean, for example, look at the heat I'm getting because I named the Secretary of Defense, the black man. I named Ketanji Brown. I mean, because of the people I've named.
The black man. Where are we going to go for this kind of political entertainment? I have no idea. This is, there. I said it last night. I'm going to miss him in some ways. There's nothing funnier in politics than Joe Biden pandering to black people. It's as good as it gets.
I would ordinarily be going through black neighborhoods on ground on the foot, working through the neighborhoods. I have a tradition. I close every campaign, no matter what campaign, going into the projects and going down the east side. And, hey, Joe, well, how you doing? Everybody, just because of the reference, letting them know I'm still...
He sounds great. And the black house he used to go to.
Example, I was in South Carolina, went to going to a black home where a dad and his son were sitting at the kitchen table with him and they talk about it. And,
oh, gosh. If he's actually leaving, I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him in a lot of ways. All right. So, look, what happened? Well, you and I have talked about this. Joe Biden was determined a liability to the system. How big of a liability? Well, last night went out with a big group of us went out. It was me, Clay, Buck, and some other people, senators and whatnot. And we were just kind of had a couple beers and we were just cheese curds and just discussing politics and kind of one of those inside baseball political conversations that you feel kind of blessed to be part of. I'm looking around at one point in time and I'm thinking, this life is wild, right? I'm an idiot. I have no idea why I'm here. But anyway, we're having one of these conversations, and one of the people who was there who will know, I don't have his permission to use his name or anything. I'm just going to stress this to you. He's someone who would know. He says Democrats on Capitol Hill are in an absolute panic right now. Not about November. Not about November for Joe Biden, I mean. Not about the White House. Don't get me wrong. They're very worried about it. They want to keep the White House. But a lot of them are almost resigned to the fact, it looks bad. Look, Trump survived an assassination attempt and handled it like a boss. It's going to be very, very difficult to defeat that guy in November. So it's not about the White House. Where the panic has set in Washington, D.C. among Democrats is the House and the Senate. Because there is a Grand Canyon's worth of difference between having the White House and one of the two houses, one of the two branches of Congress, and having the White House, the House, and the United States Senate, especially if you have the United States Senate with any degree of strength, meaning it's not 51-49. If Republicans end November and they have 54 seats, that was a number that was thrown around last night, 54 seats, 55 seats in the House,
Democrats have no power whatsoever. And, you know, communists use their power. Unlike Republicans, communists will use their power. What kind of power am I talking about? What if Donald Trump assumes the White House? What if he really intends to drain the swamp? And what if he begins to appoint, as his various department heads, hardcore anti-communists who intend to clean out the filth from the federal government? And what if the Democrat senators don't have the power to stop it? That is why you're seeing all these headlines from today. Top Democrats believe Biden will bow out. Obama believes Biden needs to reconsider candidacy. Nancy Pelosi urges Biden to drop out of the presidential race. Chuck Schumer forcefully made the case Biden should drop out. Biden now receptive to... This is why you're reading all these headlines. The panic has set in, not about the White House, about every other house. And that, if this turns out to be true, that is why it will end up being true in the end. All right? All right, we're going to get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions because there's so many freaking guests. If I don't get to them next, I'm never going to get to them. So let's dig into some interesting things. Before we get into these, let's make sure we're, you know, not being weak and pathetic. Because once we achieve victory, that's when the hard part starts. Once we achieve victory, if we achieve that victory, it will take fortitude to do the things necessary to save this country. Winning elections is just part of it. And if we don't have the T levels, we're never going to be able to do it. If your testosterone levels are low, fellas, you're done. Ladies, if it's 2 or 3 in the afternoon and you need another 2 or 3 pots of coffee to keep going because you're out of energy, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You need a male vitality stack from Chalk or a female vitality stack from Chalk. And I want to emphasize that I don't want you to take my word for this. I really genuinely do not. I want you to take it for 90 days. And if you don't feel markedly better, I want you to promise me you will cancel your subscription. 90 days. You give it 90 days and tell me how your mind feels, how your energy feels. I have people emailing me to complain they can't take afternoon naps anymore. They're not really complaining. They're thrilled. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, or call them 50CHALK3000. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Of course, there's a lot of people here. It's freaking conventions. There's going to be a lot of guests. Apparently, there's nothing I can do about that. But we do have some really cool ones. Megyn Kelly's joining us like 45 minutes from now. Natalie Winters a half hour from now. One of the decent congressmen, Michael Cloud, joins us. Charlie, but there's a lot going on. But of course, it's Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday. Again, I'm not going to recap the whole thing for you as it looks right now. This is not my reporting. It's Mark Halperin's reporting, so I want to make sure he gets credit. This is a very credible human being. Sounds like they're putting the finishing touches on the Joe Biden is dropping out speech that he is expected to deliver in some way this weekend. So here we are. That's enough of that for now. There's all kinds of stuff we can recap and talk about next week. We have a whole bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions, and there are some amazing ones like this one. Jesse, what would have happened to our country if the shooter was successful? Civil war? I've thought about this a lot. I'm guessing you've thought about this too. It's one of the things that, honestly, when I was laying in bed last night, we got back after we were all out having fun and talking politics and things like that, and got back to my room, and I was a little wired, flipped through the channels. I don't like TV, turned it off, and I was just kind of sitting there thinking. And it hit me again. I know this probably is weird, but it hit me again how close we were. We're talking 2 inches. How close we were to Donald Trump being gone. Dead? What does the Republican convention look like without Donald Trump? Remember, he hadn't picked a VP by then either. So the nominee would have been... Well, I'm going to get to the personal, the Civil War part of it, but just for the nomination process alone, How sad and angry would everyone be here? It'd be just tearing all of our guts out. And then you have to, look, you still need a nominee. As horrible and cold and awful as that sounds, the convention would have gone on, and the show must go on. Meaning, we have to pick a nominee now? Where do you even begin? What do you do? Do you backtrack your way through the prime? You can't do that. Do you give it to Don Jr.? Honestly, I had that thought last night. Again, this is just me talking, just off the cuff here. Do you just let Don Jr. have it? Probably would have made the most sense. Keep the Trump coalition together. I don't know. But we were 2 inches from this being not a what if, a reality. 2 inches. And that brings me to the question, what would have happened? Civil war? No, I don't believe that. And what I'm going to say is probably going to sound harsh, but you know I can do that from time to time, and that's just kind of who I am. Nothing I can do about it. This country, the freedom-loving people of this country, don't have it in them to do something like that at all yet, because it hasn't gotten near bad enough yet. You know, it's not that people aren't waking up. They are waking up. It's not that people aren't getting more involved. They are getting more involved. You see this over and over and over again. People are getting more involved. They're digging in. So it is getting better. But the level of apathy from the, quote, freedom-loving Americans, I have not seen anything over the last 5 years, 10 years, that would indicate to me that the freedom-loving people of this country would have risen up and done something. And let me clarify, there would have been nothing to do. That would have been a good thing. Now, let me pause, because that probably makes you mad, because we would have been freaking out. We would have been mad. We wanted to do something. What would you have done? What, are you going to mobilize an army and do what? If the shooter's laying there, brain's been blown out, he's gone. Where are you going? What are you doing? It would not have been a civil war, and I'm grateful for that, because that's the last thing in the world anybody should ever want. Nobody really wins a civil war. They really don't. We like to look back fondly on ours. Look at us. We ended slavery. And of course, that's good. You want to end slavery, but that was a horrible, horrible thing. Civil wars are horrible things. Countrymen murdering each other in mass. That's nothing you should ever, ever, ever want. No matter how mad you get at the dirty commies, that should be nothing you ever look forward to at all. And I don't think it would have happened there. Then, if he'd gone. But I do think there would have been a collective level of sadness, anger, resentment out there that would have been palpable. And I think, you know how we always talk about what's one of our main goals? One of our main goals has to be waking up Norm and Norma. You're waking up the norms. The guy who, you know, of course he votes Trump every 4 years, but he can't be bothered to vote in a local election. He doesn't get involved in politics. He's watching college football. Doesn't give a crap. We want him to wake up and get involved, right? Something like that, that's the kind of thing that would do it. That's the kind of thing that would do it. And I'm not obviously in any way saying it would have been a good thing, but I could see it taking something like that. It's going to take something like that to wake up a bunch of norms. You, me, we can wake up a few, and that has to be our goal at all times. Wake them up, wake them up, wake them up. These normal people in our lives, talking to them, getting involved, friends, neighbors, relatives, getting more involved than they have been. That has to be our mission. But what's our dream? Wake them up in mass, right? They all wake up and they all get involved. That's of course what we want. It's going to take something cataclysmic to wake up a people this apathetic, and that's just the truth. It's going to take a foreign attack. It's going to take something awful, something we don't want, because that kind of puts us in a bit of a pickle. Anyway, I think we have Congressman Michael Cloud coming on. If not, that's going to be just fine. I love it. He's great. I love him. But we have so many Ask Dr. Jesse questions and great ones. And we just have a ton of stuff to do on a Thursday. I also need to make sure we're doing this. I just was talking about an attack. Remember something. No matter what happens this November, the country has been filled with criminals on purpose. And those criminals include hostile foreign actors. How many of them, as we speak, are scouting out power stations, water supplies? I'm not trying to freak you out. I'm just trying to make sure you've done the basics of being ready. Water. Do you have a way to access clean drinking water if it stops coming out of your fountain? If you don't, get it today. Food. It's easy to talk a man into buying more ammo. We all love that. It's hard to talk people into what's actually more important, eating. I can survive without ammo. I can't survive without food. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of Americans get ready. Three-month emergency food kits, $200 off each kit right now at preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Get one. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Throat. I just can't believe the Republican National Convention. You're just sitting here. I'm sitting next to Congressman Michael Cloud. Monica Crowley goes rolling by. This place is just a star-studded affair. Of course, mostly because I'm here. But anyway, so Congressman and I, we were just talking off air about this whole Secret Service thing. Congressman Michael Cloud, I'm sure you already know, 100% record with the Heritage Foundation. So this is the kind of human being we're dealing with here. Of course, Texas always does it right. Actually, that's not true. We have some dirtballs from Texas, but there's most of the Texas congressmen are decent. But more importantly, he's on the Oversight Committee, and you have a little meeting on Monday, don't you?
Yeah, Monday we'll have a hearing with the U.S. Secret Service, and I'm sure it'll be just as transparent and revealing, and all questions will be answered, and maybe not. But
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because
We talk about it a lot. I talk about it a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. Listeners email in, they're mad about it.
Yeah.
It just seems like it's always the same thing where they do something terrible,
yeah.
whether it be on purpose or on accident. You never can figure it out anymore. They do something terrible,
mm-hmm.
and then you guys try to do your jobs, bring them in for oversight, and it's always stonewalling. Either it's Christopher yeah. Ray saying, well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation or something. I'm sure you'll hear that 20 times on Monday.
Right.
And then from there, nothing happens. Can we do anything beyond that? Or is that kind of what we're stuck with without the Senate and the White House?
There's two things Congress can do. One is we can investigate these things. You know, a lot of times we talk to people back home. They want us to put people in cuffs. I wish we could. But but we can investigate things. But the other thing we have is the power of the purse. And so we have to have enough Republicans up there who are willing to say, I'm not going to fund this until the behavior is corrected. And so... You know, just last week we had a vote on the floor. I believe it was for CISA, who's, you know, they've had some questionable activity in the past. And all the vote was to hold their funding at flatline to the year prior. So we're not talking about even a massive cut. We're talking about you're just not going to make more this year in your department until this previous year until we figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the votes for that. So those are the two options really that are on the table for us. Of course, we do need to get to the bottom of this. And until we're willing to cut funding, agencies know that it's just talk from Congress. And so we've got to investigate. They think they're unaccountable. And they have been. Yeah.
And why can we never cobble together the votes? Are we that weak and pathetic on the right that we can't get the GOP in line? I'm not worried about you, but for some reason, it's always 10, 20, 30 losers in our party who won't do obvious things. Are they Democrats in disguise? Is that what we're dealing with here? Are they soft? Are they stupid? What is happening?
Yeah, you know, these always come down to individual issues with each individual who ends up on one side of the vote. The thing that I will say is I there's people who will sometimes hail back to like the Reagan and Tip O'Neill years and, you know, that may have been a great season. I'm not saying we wouldn't love to be there to have those kind of substantive dialogues across the aisle. That's not where the parties are right now. This isn't a generation ago where the difference between the right and left was we wanted the same thing for our families and our communities. We all believed in America. And the discussion, the political discussion was, what's the role of government in getting there? Right now, that discussion is happening entirely within the Republican Party. And I think that's what last night was about. When we're talking about, okay, we have differences of opinion on some of the nuanced issues, but we're all standing for the same principles. That discussion's happening right now entirely within the Republican Party, at least certainly at the D.C. swamp level. And the left has completely embraced Marxism. And we have to have enough members who understand what the time is right now. And the consensus of that is growing. I would hope after the extraordinary events, President Trump, his life literally being spared by the hand of God, that we can understand the kind of evil that we're up against in that we're facing as a country right now and the need for us at all levels. We're talking at the local level to D.C., everything in between, to have people of courage who are going to stand for these principles.
I'm sure you've heard at this point in time, it's breaking news, kind of breaking news, but Mark Halperin's very reputable journalist saying, it sounds like Joe Biden, as we speak, somebody's writing his farewell speech, and it's going to be this freaking disaster that they're going to have to do with the nomination at the convention, so on. Okay, mm-hmm. So I don't want to ask you to comment on something that hasn't happened yet, but if Joe Biden's not the nominee, then where in the world do they go? You can't go with Kamala Harris. She's less popular than Joe Biden. Who is it? Mayor Pete?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not a Dem operative, so, you know, I'm sure there are people wringing their hands over that decision mm-hmm. right now. The thing that people need to realize is, I mean, Joe Biden has not been running the policy set as it is right now.
No, not so much.
So you may get a new figurehead and maybe one who's a little more capable at speaking, doesn't trip upstairs, you know, those kind of things. But you're going to have the same policy set. And this policy set has been devastating for the American people. It's retracted our place on the world stage. It's done a lot of bad things for humanity here at home and us being that city on a hill across the world. You know, the open borders, the economy, the gap between rich and poor right now is growing once again when under Trump it had shrunk. We had a strong middle class, you know, virtually every single demographic of flourishing. And so you're going to get the same solution set. Might be a different face, but it's going to be the same solution set that they're offering.
You represent Southern Texas. Yeah. We're talking Victoria, Corpus Christi, these places. How awful is it to get on a plane and have to leave Texas and the Mexican food we have and stuff and go back to D.C.? Even the food in D.C. sucks. I tell people this and they think I'm lying. All that money and power concentrated in one place, it's hard to find a decent meal in that crappy town.
Yeah, there's many attempts to have good Mexican food in D.C. and they don't fail. They're just, you know, not South Texas for sure. And you know, it's part of the job to go in the swamp. I try to make sure I take a good shower when I come home, put my proverbial wading boots on when I head there. And the big thing is just remembering why you're going there so that you don't get sucked into the ideology, DC has its own absurd sense of gravity. You know, you're talking from the intern to the vice president, someone's demise, someone else's step ladder mm-hmm. to success, you know? And so we've always try to do our best to remember why we're there, remember we're there to serve, and on our team, I feel blessed to have a staff and a team that works with that same sort of mission mindset.
Is that what you've been able to maintain? Because so many don't. I mean, so many, though, it sound great on the campaign trail, and even maybe in the first term, they're doing well, looks great, and then just, it's like their mind falls out when they get there. Is that the difference, people around you, or is that why you've been able to hold strong? Because so many don't, and it's very, very frustrating.
Well, I can only speak for, you know, I mean, for me, it's a daily walk. You know, my faith's important to me. I'm trying to live and do right. I know ultimately I'm going to stand before God one day and ultimately that's going to matter. I mean, yes, each election cycle matters because you're representing and working for the people sending you there. But ultimately, you know, every conversation you have, you know, all the decisions you're making sure you're doing it with the right motives in mind, and that you're there to working for the American people. It sounds so basic and elementary to me, but there's just specific mindsets that you can adopt that try to, you know, I had somebody when I was running thinking they're doing good come to me and just say, you know, I've been there, it's been, just remember the ends justify the means. You know, and you might have to do some stuff you don't like. What's up? Burchett walking by, famous people everywhere. But you know, I just remember thinking, don't ever let yourself fall into that kind of thinking because, you know, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Healthy dose of Jesus would do us all pretty good. Congressman, I appreciate you very much, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Did you hear that, Chris? Anyway. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Natalie Winters with The War Room. She co-hosts that with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon's not with us. Why? Because he's in prison. The federal government threw the guy in prison. We're going to talk to her about that and weaponization of government and other things. Hang on.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We have a very special guest with us today. I say special because of the very odd purse she brought onto the show. Natalie Winters, of course, host on The War Room. I love The War Room. You love The War Room. More specifically, Natalie Winters, the solo host, I believe, now of The War Room. Now, why are you going solo, Natalie? Didn't you have somebody who was doing that with you?
Yeah, not exactly a promotion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my co-host and wonderful boss and fearless leader, Stephen K. Bannon, is inside of a federal prison right now because he stood up for President Trump's similar case. A little bit of a distinction in terms of Peter Navarro's case. But he is up in Danbury, Connecticut, serving a four-month sentence. So I am filling in for him in the meantime, along with a slew of other people who are kind of guest hosting to keep it fun. But we are not letting up. We are keeping his spirit alive, and we email with him constantly. So he's definitely helping us even from behind bars.
Yeah, make sure you give him our best. And I really wanted you to talk about that briefly. We'll get to Fashion Week here in a moment, but I really wanted to talk about that because we talk about the weaponization of federal government all the time. It's a common phrase now, weaponization, weaponization. But it's almost talked about as if this is something that's going to happen or something that's going to come. There are people right now in prison It's not, sadly, just, it's not just Steve Bannon. There are people right now in prison wrongly. This is happening here, and it's happening right now.
Well, this is the same federal government that for, what is it, nearly a decade, if not longer, has, I think, worked overtime to redefine what it means to be a domestic extremist and a domestic terrorist. So much so that someone, like the shooter that tried to assassinate President Trump on Saturday, wouldn't even really fit their definition of what it means to be a domestic terrorist or a domestic extremist, because they have reworded that to mean MAGA, to be synonymous with Trump supporter, to be synonymous with people who watch your show, people who watch War Room, people who want to deconstruct the administrative state. And I think so often they like to write off that movement as crazy people, deranged people who don't know what they're doing, right? It's kind of gonzo, they're going rogue. But this is calculated. This is a systemic effort. We understand the monster, the behemoth that we are up against, that is the administrative state. And frankly, that's why they're in such meltdown over Project 2025, because I think it represents how our side has actually circled the wagons and gotten the troops together to realize the threat that we're up against. But if you watch the mainstream media, the number one issue that they lose it on with President Trump, it used to be immigration, but now it is going after the administrative state, right? It is going after draining the swamp. That's too nice a term, but it's going after these civil servants, the Schedule F protections. And I think that right there is the tell, that they know that if you go for those people, they know personnel is policy, that if you take those people out from those positions, that the administrative state will crumble.
Seizing those choke points of power, it's what those dirty commies do so well, and they've been doing it for a long time. But we're gonna set that aside for now. I have to ask. I realize this is a radio show. Some of you may be watching on the simulcast. I realize a lot of you are, but you're walking around with a box. It's shaped like a box, and you say it's tweed, and I guess I'll have to respect your wishes on this, but this is fashion.
Okay, so do you want the real story behind the bag?
I would love to know why you have a box.
Okay, that's a great quote. Mm-hmm. So I was visiting a friend slash guy last weekend.
You can just say boyfriend, okay. Natalie. It's okay.
It's not my boyfriend.
It's not a scandal.
He's not my boyfriend.
Does he know that?
I think so. And
yeah, sure.
I don't think I like him. So I left early,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Chicago. No. Okay. I went to Chicago and I spent a night there instead. And then I went shopping the next day. And am I allowed to say the store that I went to a store? I don't know.
You can say the name.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to treat myself instead. So I went to Chanel and I got a new bag. And you're mocking this vanity bag. That's what it's called, a vanity case. But this is very rare. And fun fact, we're going to bring this full circle to the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in there. I go and I'm like, I really want this bag. But I was like, maybe I shouldn't buy it. So I leave. Then I do a lap around the block. I come back and I'm about to buy the bag. And then this couple who happened to be Chinese comes over and they're like, we want to buy the bag. It was the last one they had. So had I not come back.
Hold on. Did you spite buy a Chanel bag to try to shaft some poor Chinese people? Is that really what you did? That's amazing.
I'm so committed.
That is okay. Besides me, who's the most stylish person you've seen at the Republican convention?
It's a really
obviously
low
with me,
bar.
With the sunglasses and everything. I know
okay, so
how good I look, but
I usually, this beautiful lady is walking past now. I usually like am in the full getup. I'm like a dress and heels kind of girl, but in protest of just the RNC for what it historically has represented, I was like, I'm going sneakers. So usually I would nominate myself, but I can't do that this time.
Okay.
I'm just going to go with you. I don't want to insult the host.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of ill-fitting suits. I think the Republican Party needs to get better tailors.
Yeah.
And I don't like the cheese hats. I know it's like insulting culture, but
I have to ask. Now, you're not wearing them, by the grace of God, but
the
ballet flats.
I don't like those.
This thing, I don't know when this became acceptable for women in the United States of America. They'll wear them.
It's called
on ballet corps. Occasions.
Ballet corps.
Ballet corps.
Yeah.
I don't. Is that a workout program?
No. There's like a trend where ballet corps, like coquette corps, mm-hmm. like pink corps, Pilates corps. It's like, honestly, it comes from TikTok. Not that I frequent that app, but it's an aesthetic. I will say the upside of it is that I think it is sort of a return in some ways to traditional femininity. Wouldn't you rather see women wearing ballet flats than like hardcore like goth trans combat boots?
No, actually, I think I would rather see combat boots. I think
okay.
I would rather see women wearing.
Do you like my shoes?
They're okay. I mean, they're nothing to write home about. All right, they're fine. They're certainly better than ballet flats.
They're New Balance. They're made in the USA.
I understand that. On a more serious note, when it comes to fashion, Why is that industry so gross? I say this because my wife complains about it all the time. If I ever get dragged along when she's out shopping, she's so disgusted. She can't walk in the makeup area without, mm-hmm. of course, there's got to be a tranny up there. Of course, it's got to be. What is
it's
it with that industry
tranny.
Specifically?
It's an obese tranny missing a limb pictured with like another rate. Like, it's the whole thing, right? It's like ridiculous. But, you know, I think it's a symptom of broader cultural rot. But I think if you really take a step back, you can go down how we've been indoctrinated for years. But I also think it's just an example of, I think corporations honestly kind of get off on just pushing this really subversive stuff. Yeah. I think they try to see how much they can push on the American people, because I think for so long we've kind of just really sat back and we took it, right? Yeah. That's how we got to this this spot.
We've lived and lived our way into this whole thing.
Exactly. Yep. So it's wild. I mean, having grown up in LA, the billboards used to be beautiful models, and now you drive down Sunset Strip and it's like, like I said, the Star Wars bar.
Yeah, look at how far we've fallen. Natalie Winters, obviously.
Thank you for this very serious interview.
Of course. Natalie Winters of The War Room. Go. Honestly, she's a wealth of information. I have her on my TV show all the time. She's wonderful. Natalie, I appreciate you and your tennis shoes, I
Not
guess.
The box.
Now, we have Megyn Kelly joining us 5 minutes from now. I don't know how to tell time. She's the next time you hear my voice, it's going to be sitting next to Megyn Kelly. I don't know whether she's going to bring a box purse along as well. If she does, we will address that with her on the air. I first need to address the fact that our dogs don't get real nutrition, though. Our dogs do not get nutrition because we give our dogs dog food. Dog food is brown. Dead things are brown. Why do the leaves fall in the fall? Because they turn brown, because they die, and then they fall off. We don't give our dogs any real nutrition. They die too early. Give your dog Rough Greens. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. Your dog will thank you by living longer and providing a better life for you and your family. You'll see physical differences in your dog. RoughGreens.com/Jesse or 833-33-MY-DOG. Go get some. Megyn Kelly, next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.